Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, it's Sabrina DeVille calling from Las Vegas, Nevada, or actually calling. I act like I'm calling in. This is Conversations with the Diva with Sabrina Williams, and tonight we are going to be talking to Joseph Chopin and our comedian L.J. White. And before we start the show, I know we have Mr. Joseph, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. The last name is pronounced Chopin, but that's okay.
Hold on a second. So we're live here from Las Vegas, Nevada, with Sabrina Williams and Conversations with Diva. We want to give a shout-out to WBBN Media, Web5 and Joy Network, for being our sponsor. You guys are following in to you when you're moving around, because the radio will pick that up, okay? So we also want to thank Next Level Superintendent Danny Bergeron for sponsoring our show. Tonight, we are, Joseph, you have some stuff going on in your background.
I'm in a quiet area. I'm alone in my house.
Oh, okay. Well, not me. Alrighty. Well, you know what? How are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm really good. I've just came from the studio, and we finished the soundtrack for my new movie, The Almighty, which turned out great. We have a original song that we had one of the singers come in and sing it. We're still not done with it, though. We're going to have a choir come in and re-record the original singer's voice and do a very, a nice little kind of like a gothic type of feel, like a 16th century type of opera-ish type of sound. So it sounds really good. I love it. We just got out just not even 20 minutes ago, so I'm home now. And
in a second, but Joseph Chopin, is that how you say it?
Yes, Chopin, yep, like the composer.
Creative line, and I'm assuming producer of your film Almighty that airs on August 7th, 2015. Is that correct?
Yes, it airs on August 7th, 2015 at 6 o'clock p.m. At the Adventure Stage Theater in Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourself, Joseph. Why did you choose movie producing, writing plays, and how did that come about? Who influenced you?
Could you repeat that question just one more time?
Who influenced you for writing? Because you are your Almighty looks like a really great film.
Yeah.
Who influenced you from early on, and where did you go to school?
Sure. Sure. Well, the inspiration I got to write The Almighty came from a conversation that I had with my now ex-girlfriend. We were like in the middle of my kitchen, and we were talking, and she said something along the line. It was a funny conversation, and she ended up saying something about The Almighty, and it ended up being real funny. We ended up laughing, but the word The Almighty stuck out to me very clearly, and I ended up taking that word and turning it into a poem called Love and Peace Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
And so after I finished writing the poem, eventually I turn all of my poetry into films, because I have I've been writing poems for a long time, and that's what happened. It just turned into the script. The poem that I wrote from that conversation turned into the script, and I love poetry a lot, so I take a lot of my poems and turn them into films, and I think that's where a lot of my inspiration comes from, just a very poetic view on life, and anything that sounds good that I can rhyme with something, I'll turn it into.
Who influenced you, though? Who influenced you for poetry? Was it a family member? Was it a teacher? Who?
Michael Jackson.
Okay. Jackson.
I'm a big Michael Jackson fan, and I've always been a Michael Jackson fan ever since I was around 4 or 5 years old. I've loved his music. I've been listening to it heavily, and he influences me on a daily. In fact, no, let me not say that, because Michael Jackson influences my, like, my life. But mm-hmm. There was a girl in when I was 16, and I was at a car wash in 10th grade.
Okay.
And I ran into her. Name is Erin Martin. You might know her. You might not. She was on the show called The Voice, and I had the biggest crush on her. If you ever watched the show called The Voice, she was on a couple seasons, maybe like a few seasons ago, like a few years ago. She went on to do quite a bit of shows on that, and. I ran into her in a parking in a gas station, and our class was washing people's cars for, like, donations. And I washed her car, and I saw her in the window, and I was like, this girl is the hottest girl I've ever seen in my life. And I was the only guy there that got her number, and I knocked on her window because I saw a piano in the back of her car, and I play guitar. I'm a very heavy in guitar. I'm a guitarist, and so I said, hey,
okay.
I know how to play guitar, and you know how to play piano, and we exchanged information, and she was so beautiful to me. I wrote my first poem about her. So that was really what influenced me. If you want to get really deep into it, that's like,
wow.
Like my very first poem came from that. Yeah.
And that's nice that you give her credit for that. So now, are there members of your family that do music, poetry, art, or was that just out? That was just you.
My older brother. All of my family is very artistic. Everybody is. Mm-hmm. I think that my entire family is. We just have this secret artistic thing about us. You know, the Chopins on my, you know, my dad's side is the Chopins. My mom's side are Williams. And so I was the only one. My older brother, when he was younger, he was real big into his rap career. Like, he really wanted to be a rapper, but he's going to school for law and English. So I think that's where he's focused on now. And I am just the only one out of all my, I have two brothers and one sister. And I think I was the only one that really, really just blossomed in it. You know, that was just something that I would love to do. Even when you walk into my room when I was younger, I had pictures of, you know, just like paintings and drawings that I would do all over the walls around
okay.
my bed.
Okay. Now, you said that from your poetry you write and wrote films and produced. What other, because we're going to talk about the Almighty, but I'd just like the audience to know, what other films or short films or movies do you have out right now or have had
sure.
out?
I put out a film last year. It's called Daphne's Dream, and that was an inspiration between two best friends. I always loved the concept of a best friend. You know, there is no love greater than I think than the love of a best friend. Whether
right.
you know, when you're younger and you can rely on your best friend. Let's say, for instance, you're 8 years old. And you have your best pal, and you know that no matter what they can do at that age, they will do anything for you. Even if, I mean, they can literally move mountains for you in a split second because they are
mm-hmm.
so young and they can't drive and they can't fly and they can't do any. You know, they can't go. You know, travel
right,
the world. So
your needs
as a 7 year old are not that much to where. Your best friend can't do anything for you, and I think that's where the purest love lies, is the love of the best friend. So I've made a film called Daphne's Dream, and it's about two best friends who are just sitting on the beach sharing their dreams with one another, and they go into this array of just dreams, and a lot of my poem that was derived from that. It's something along the lines of please, oh geez, I can't remember what the actual poem is called, but it's called Daphne's Dream. That's what the poem is called, but I can't remember the words. But it's online right
mm-hmm.
now. It's on my YouTube channel, and that was some one of the most beautiful poems I Please give me freedom. I need to be free. It's intended to be, this girl is calling out for freedom in her dreams. And so the reason why I wrote that is because inwardly I think I was calling out for to be free in the film industry, you know, trying to get out there and just do what I wanted to do.
Do you find it hard as an African-American or some people prefer black person to break into the producing movies?
No. I don't think blackness or being black or being African-American or being African or being of color has anything to do with anything being hard whatsoever. Nothing is hard. What the system has done that I see is they have placed a certain amount of value on items in this world, whether it's land, whether it's air, whether it's water, you know, commodities, you know, people will, you know, make monopolies on things. And so using the way to keep things as separate as possible, race plays a part in that. It's just something like, why do we pay for water? Why do we have to go and, you know, pay for a watermelon when we can just go and grow one? You know what I mean? And why do we have to pay for land? And so race is just something that falls in with one of those things, and that can be avoided like any other thing. I mean, it's not difficult at all to know who you are and love yourself and, you know, just be a part of the world and you know, living. It's kind of crazy when people think that it's difficult to get somewhere because you're black, especially black people. Using saying that, oh man, I'm black, I can't do it because they're stopping me, I'm black. No, you're stopping yourself because you think you have a crutch.
You're saying is that that there is no that is equal footing for all, including
yes,
women.
Yes, everybody is equal. It's just the rule
that
society. Yeah, society's rules. Society's rules. Our society's rules have placed that black is a crutch, being black is a crutch.
No,
so
hear me out.
Uh-huh.
What I'm saying is that you're saying that there's no, for women movie producers or for anybody of any race, of a Caucasian woman that's a movie producer doesn't have a harder time than a man.
Nope, not at all. And the reason why is because a woman or a black male or an Asian whoever, they can just do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They can just do it themselves. They have to, when you have to want something from someone, you have just a very 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 it's just not a independent form of thinking. When you can get up, if you're a woman or if you're a black male, like I am. I'm not a woman, but I'm a black male, and you can get up and just go do something and not have to want anything from anybody, who's going to stop you from doing anything?
Mm-hmm.
There's not one person that will stop you from doing anything when you just go do it. There's no rules. It's just, there's just law. There's no rules to being black. As long as you're following the law, there's no rule like, oh, I'm black, so I'm a woman, so I can't, you know, it's going to be harder for me than it is for a man to get into the film industry. No, that's not true. You just think that it's harder for you.
No, actually, I'm going to have to stop you. I disagree. But we can disagree, and I get the final word on that because it's my show. I disagree because I've seen a lot of women who actually have, men have, and people of color do struggle there. So let's go on with the Almighty.
Okay.
Tell us about the film. Tell us about the film and why it's so important to you.
The Almighty
before you do
symbolize.
This, hold on 1 second. Let me bring on our other caller. You're in Conversations with the Diva. This is Sabrina.
Hey, Sabrina, how you doing? This is LJ. What's up?
Hi, we have Mr. Joseph Chopin on the line. He has the film that's coming out in August, so you could say his session is almost finished, but we're going to open up the line, so feel free to, if you have a comment, just let us know. Okay, Joseph, go ahead and tell us about The Almighty.
The Almighty symbolizes patience. It's a film about a young woman who is searching for love in her life, and she searches for it day by day by day, and she just can't find it. So one day she finally decides to ask God for love, and to her surprise, when she wakes up the next morning, a man is laying in her bed, and she gets exactly what she asked for right away. And she is not completely ready for that. And so the man ends up talking to her in a very a strange way, and opens up her mind towards the concept of being patient.
Somebody has a computer on, or they're close to their computer, and you need to mute your computer. Go ahead, Joseph.
I can hear what you're saying. That could be the problem, but I don't think it's anything on my end. I'm talking from a landline. So the Almighty opens up the idea pushes the concept of patience. I think that this is important. I think this is important at this time, especially in my career and history in the time in our society, rather, because patience is key to getting anywhere. Especially in my company, you know, we have a great, awesome group of people that want to succeed, but we're not there yet, and so it's going to take a lot of patience. So this year, that's like my theme, patience. And
okay.
That's what the Almighty symbolizes.
All right, so before you go, tell us where we can find you. Tell us again about when the Almighty comes out. Are you showing it just that one day? And if they don't see it at the movie theater, where else can they see it at?
Sure. Well, this is what we're going to do. So The Almighty is premiering on August 7th, 2015 at the Adventure Stage Theater in Chicago, Illinois. It's going to be at 6:00 p.m. and tickets can be found online at www.showclick. That's showclick.com/ The Almighty Movie. So if you go there, you'll be able to find tickets. Now, let's say, for instance, you don't have a computer close to you, or you just can't get on your computer. You can also call 1-888-718-4253, and you can call that Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can call and ask just for a ticket to The Almighty Movie, and you should be able to the person on the line should be able to hook you up and get you a ticket. You can find us on our website at www.chopinproductions.co, or you can find us on Instagram at 99 Years Studios, or Twitter at 99 Years Studios, or our Facebook page at 99 Years Studios Entertainment or Chopin Productions. Whichever one you click in, you'll be able to find it. Also, if you go to our YouTube page, you'll be able to find us at Chopin Productions, youtube.com/Chopin Productions. And that's all of our stuff. You know, The Almighty is going to be a great movie, and we have such awesome people that are going to be in the audience. This is great. So a couple celebrity guests as well, and so it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to a great show on August 7th.
All right. Did you want to give a shout out to anybody before your segment ends?
Sure, I'll give a shout out to Renee Martin Best. She is my producer. She's awesome. Just the greatest person in that I know. You know, she's making things work and pushing things in a very positive direction for the company. I appreciate her very much, and you know, she's aspiring to be a female filmmaker. So I'm helping her along with that as well. So she's doing a great job.
All right. Well, welcome to hang on the line. Thank you for coming on. We appreciate you. And we look forward to the film coming out. And that's August 7th.
Thank you so much.
Have a good night.
Have a wonderful night. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right, Mr. LJ, you're up next. And before we go to you, we're going to go to a song by Lady Princess that was here last week, and she's given us permission to play her song. I love this song. So hang with us. Before we go to the song, I would like you to introduce yourself to everybody and tell them what you do and where you're calling from.
Hello, I'm LJ White. I'm a comedian. I'm calling out of Lima, Ohio, and pretty much that's it. I'm just here to bring the funny, and my job is to keep people motivated and inspired through laughter.
There you go. All right, here's Lady Princess, and we'll be back. We'd like to also, again, thank WBDN Media Web by Design for allowing us to have conversations with the Diva. Don't forget that we will be resuming the 30 Social in a couple of weeks, and we also have new shows that are going to be coming out. Thank you guys for listening, and here is Lady Princess. If I can get my hands on the right song, here we go. And let's see if it works.
Should I do this? I feel so bound. I just gotta break free. Let's go.
Turn down the world.
Turn down the world. It's time to
All right, that was Lady Princess, who was here last week, and it is always time to get turned up for Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for us having L.J. White on the show. We are going to be talking about something that is just a wonderful topic. So, L.J.?
Mm-hmm.
Can you still hear me?
Yes, I do.
All right. So last Sunday, I think Sunday, on Father's Day, LJ, and I'm always the first person to admit when I'm wrong or when I do stupid things. So LJ posted a post, and it was about Father's Day and women. And I read a certain part, and I had read some of it, but I focused on something. We got into a little Facebook tiff. I ended up, you know, blocking him and then unblocking him because God should be right. And then I had emailed him because I had asked him before this to be on the show. And then we called and we talked, and what it came down to be that this young man has some really, he's a great person and a great dad. So, LJ, take it away, and let's start talking about what we were talking about last week.
Yeah, I mean, Sabrina went ham on me on that issue. That was wild, you know. I mean, not even regular ham. She went Black Forest on the brother. I ain't get honey ham, none of that. If I had bread, I could have made sandwiches. but no,
you know,
I was also wrong. You know, I was also wrong in that situation.
Was it a roast beef or a ham sandwich? At least
it was straight ham.
Wow.
Wasn't no beef. You skipped beef and went straight to ham on the brother.
But you did make some good points about that. There are good dads out there who are doing some fantastic things. And statistics, actually, since I've talked to you, statistics don't show that there are good that dads are doing great things with their kids, and they're stepping in when moms are walking away. And moms are saying, I'm tired, I don't want to be with the kids anymore. Whether it's babysitting a dog who's being scrappy sick. So the point is that there are dads out there who are doing some great things, and I just want to, you know, because not every dad is a sperm bank or a sperm donor and just leaves his children. There's some dads out there who work 2 and 3 jobs, help kids do homework, and take them to sports and activities and do everything. LJ?
And see, I'm going to take it even further. There are good people out there, period. There's good and there's bad. And the problem that I have, which would be like a secondary topic, which I consider, I call it social media. Is it creating connectivity or is it corrupting communication? Why? Because we focus so much on the negative that we forget that there's actually positive in everything, just like with this white thing that's going on with the taking down of the flag. You know, there's, you know, people look at racial sides or whatever. They're good white people, they're good black people, they're good Asians, whatever. So with this father thing, My post was, and it really was to be funny because I totally understand the woman side of it. It was basically saying that women stop trying to take the Father's Day and tell each other, you know, Happy Father's Day and stuff, and, you know, because that's our day, we gave you Mother's Day. And I did post it because I had a problem because I posted a post that said exactly this. I said, Happy Father's Day to all you men and to all you women who pull double duty. And I happen to have this one young lady, not you, but she texted me, she messaged back and said, thank you. I sent her a personal message, told her how I felt about that, and I deleted what she said. Don't tell me thank you and don't return it back to me, because I wasn't just telling you Father's Day, Happy Father's Day, but I'm a father as well. Give me my respect as a good father. You know, stop looking at negatives, you know, or quit being so quick to accept something on your behalf and not be ready to pay attention to how someone else is also contributing. And that's what we have a lot. And it's not just, you know, it's not just the women that's doing it. It's men who also perpetrate that, or you have women who are perpetrating being, you know, deadbeat mothers, or they're falling victim to other things like other men influencing them not to be a good mother, or addictions that take them away from their responsibility or what have you. And then we focus on those negative things and forget that there are some men out there. My wife, for one, you know, she raised her three boys by herself, you know. And my thing is, I look to her for the simple fact that she did have to pull double duty. You know, she wasn't blessed with the man wanting to be there for his children. The only time he would want to be there is if she was putting out something, you know. Other than that, he was gone. He was absent. You know, he was not the kind of dad that stepped up. Me, myself, when I came into her life, not only was I a father to my children, but I took her children in and accepted them as, you know, mine as well. Knowing that they had a father out there, but I became a father figure to them. I don't want to be a dad. You have a dad. But I will be a father figure to you, and I will give you the advice I feel that a young man of your stature needs. Because only a man can teach a man how to be a man. A woman can teach a man to be responsible.
Right.
But a man can't teach another man, you know, how to be a man. Just as I have friends, one comedian, Brandon Wynn, he has a daughter. He's raising his daughter. One thing I'll tell him, just like I'll tell the women, is you can't raise that woman to be a woman. You can raise her to be responsible, but she still needs input from a female that can teach her things you can't teach her unless you're going through a period too. You know, you can't teach her how to, you know, the changes that's going on in her body. You can't explain that to her. You would have to learn with her by researching it, but you cannot actually explain to her what it feels like to go through that. And that's just my issue on that. I mean, we need to look, you
and
know,
you brought up a good point, a good point of that moms, and moms are, some moms, not all moms, but when there is a divorce, that the moms will not allow the kids to see the dad or play and pit the kids against. I thought that was a good point. And I want to point out to the parents, that's not something that you want to do, because you're going to teach your child to hate actually they're going to hate you for a long while. What you want to do is recognize that unfortunately that's the one you got with, you know what, but they shouldn't suffer because you're upset. And so the child should be able to see their mom or dad. And there may be some circumstances where they may not be able to because of domestic violence or substance abuse. Those are special circumstances, and we understand that. But sometimes the norm is, well, you know what, he left me, he has another woman, or he's not paying child support, or she's not paying child support, so I'm going to withhold. You know, so we want to make sure that we're not punishing the child, because the child's the only one who's suffering.
And see, I've been through that. My daughter's mother, she tried to play me like that. When it came down to a decision whether I should be with this woman or not, and I decided not to, for my own personal reasons, because of stuff that I saw that wasn't conducive to a proper relationship, the first thing she said to me was, okay, since you're not going to be with me, leave us alone. I'm thinking to myself, when was the last time I had a threesome? I don't know nothing about this. You know, but she was talking about our daughter, you know, and my thing was, my problem with her was this, and this is something that I want people to understand. My problem with her was, in the dating process, while we were hanging out, kicking it, dating and whatnot, there's times where, just totally unrelated to anything, she just burst out in tears and cry on my shoulder and be like, you know, why didn't my dad love me? Why wasn't he there for me? Yet when it came time for you to make a decision for your daughter, you, because of your own selfishness, was willing to put her through that same pain that you went through not having a father, rather than let this man be there. The only difference between myself and her dad was that when her mother pushed her dad away, he left. When she tried to push me away, not only did I fight with her, I fought with her uncles, her brothers, and her family, and I told them, I will die for this. Only death can keep me from that baby, not you.
Exactly.
And that's the mentality that a good father has. But at the same time, and it's not just men, it's not just women. Women, I'm not picking on y'all. But if you have a child and you are trying to push anyone out, unless it's for the reason she stated earlier, abuse, you know, drug problems and stuff, and this person is not showing that they're willing to change and do what's right in order to be in their child's life, then, you know, that's cool. Push them. I can understand you pushing that away. But if they're doing everything that they can just to be that parent to that child, move aside and let them do their job. Because you can't
and
do it for them, and really, in the long run, you're going to hurt your child.
No, and I'll tell you what, my ex-husband, I actually got my son their own phones so that they can talk to their dad. Only thing he has to do is let me know when he comes to town so that we can actually plan for them to see him. Otherwise, I don't need to talk to him. They can talk to him. They're 15 and 17. And you know what? When you do that, you create a better relationship. And your child can see the other parent for what the other parent is. They can see both parents for what each parent is. And it makes the child not have to pick who they're going to love.
Yeah, because unfortunately, what the parent don't see is this child is not stupid. It's just a child. And this child is going to eventually grow up to become an intuitive-thinking adult, and they're going to eventually be able to see through all the lies that you tell them. It's best to be real with them. Tell them the truth. Don't try to blast that person. Like me, for instance, I don't blast my daughter's mother in front of her, but she will grow to see that. She'll grow to see that I was never negative towards her, and she'll also grow to see whatever negative things were. My thing is, and I'm not saying she's a negative person. She's a good mother to my daughter. I'm just saying, you know, hypothetically. But in the same return, if she's to blast me constantly and point out the bad, eventually my daughter's going to be like, hold up. My dad has not done anything wrong. Why do you keep lying on the mom? And it's going to cause a strain in your relationship. Don't do it.
Amen.
Just be real with you. Are smart. Talk to them the same way you talk to another adult. Just don't use those strong words.
Yeah, you're right, exactly. And you know what's funny? Because with me, what I do with my spouse to keep it just my ex-husband to keep it peace is if he has something to say, if it's not a medical emergency or you don't need to talk to me, then that way I can't get in an argument with anybody. It makes it better for my, because I want my kids to be at peace. My prime concern should be the peace of my children, and that's what you guys should all strive for. Oh, children, now tell us about your comedy. Where are you performing at, and where are you located at?
Oh, man, right now I'm performing wherever they book me at. But, I want everybody to see me. Not that I'm looking for bookings. I mean, they're coming. I'm just saying, wherever they're going to book me at. But for right now, I do have quite a few things that are in the works right now. Matter of fact, your own, Las Vegas' own Spanky Broyles, me and him are working on a thing. Me and him are working on a thing where he's actually going to take my comedy into the prison. I'm not afraid to say that I was once locked up. I was behind bars. And I totally believe that those people need to not only get a laugh, but they need to see someone like me go back in there, you know, to inspire them to say, hey, I know what you're going through now, but I was in that same spot where you were at one time, and it's not too late. I have a show coming up at the Legion here in Lima on the 11th. There's another place called Jay's in Lima that we have. I believe that's on the 25th. And I'm actually currently working with some other people. I have a guy by the name of Joey Zaza. He's going to be having his show in Cleveland on the 8th of August. And right now we're just I'm just spreading the humor around, working on some shows. Actually trying to work on getting my own little radio show. You might be able to give me some tips on that.
And you come back on, you can practice on my show anytime. But, yes, you know what? And you know what? I'm going to be honest. I believe in networking because I remember Sunday, even though we had the ham sandwich, so I just took it to a whole other level, we were able to just talk. And my big thing is promoting everybody. So definitely, however that I can help you and help you figure it out, yes, I would. You send me an email because I would love to because – you know what? Laughter is medicine. I know you were making me. I was laughing at myself with my attitude that day. But just to be able to come on the air today and to admit that I was wrong And also to hear somebody make fun of it is just amazing. You're a great young man. You're doing great things. I'm proud of you. So, you know, definitely. And I hope you would come back on and give us some more laughter. Where can we find you for social media?
Okay, for social media, you can find me on Facebook, obviously. That's where Sabrina blocked me from. I'm just joking.
Wait, you're not the first person who said that. When people make me mad, I'm like this little kid like that has a sandbox. I just want you out of my sandbox for that second until I can figure it out. So the easiest way for me was to block you. And then God was like, I was actually having an argument with God about it. God was like, you know that's not right. That man was actually right. You need to be right. But God, do I have to really unblock it? Yes, go unblock that man and be nice. And I was like, All right. Okay, unblock him. Not realizing that when I sent you an email that you were the person I had blocked, and I had, oh my God. I know God's a comedian because the things that he puts up with me, I know he's like, that child is just too funny. She does her thing. I am the blocking and delete queen. My friend Bridget Newell will tell you, I blocked and deleted her for a couple of months. Dude, I've been de-blocking people. Act up, piss me off, I'm blocking you. That's it. I'm done. People know.
My wife is blocking me. But I will not. Unless they get super, super personal or threatening or whatever, I don't believe in blocking people because, I mean, myself, even though I don't personally know you, when I accept you as a friend, that's exactly what friends do. Friends accept the good and the bad, and I accept the good with the bad. But at the same
you
time,
know that I'm the blocker now, right? You know that Sabrina is a friend who's the blocker, and you just have to touch her, block you for a few minutes, and then I'll block. That's just Sabrina. That's all.
It's funny because my wife's name is Sabrina.
See, and she's probably a beautiful, beautiful young lady who just is just a diva. See? Uh-huh.
Yes, she is.
Hi, Sabrina.
We'll see this stuff. I'm not gonna let the diva take the blame by herself. I did exchange some words with her, and we went at it for a minute, and we both was wrong. The good thing that God put a good spirit in this woman and had her come back to me and stuff because she, you know, hey, she's got a really good spirit. I accept my wrong, too. I didn't have to keep that going, you know, but I did. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing.
But we also talked about the show's gonna go off, but it's not gonna go. It's gonna still keep recording, so don't go. Don't hang up. One thing we did talk about is that as black people, sometimes we don't know how to fight and argue. Just like, okay, I'm mad at you. Okay, fine, I'm mad at you. And then we'll just like, okay, bye, done. I'm never talking to you. And I knew it was the right thing. God knew it was the right thing. And we need to be able to as African Americans, black, whatever you want to be called, is just be able to get along and say, hey, you pissed me off. Okay, so now moving on. You know, and that's what we were able to do. And I love that about
you. Did I tell my wife that she is incapable of you? She doesn't know when to stop fighting. Sometimes fights start, but sometimes you also got to know when to stop.
I knew I was wrong, but I also know sometimes you just have to let it go. And you know what? It's an amazing thing. Hey, stay on the line with me for a second. This is Sabrina Williams with Conversations with the Diva. The show has ended, but it's still going to record this part. I just want to take my hat off to LJ White. He is an amazing young man, an amazing comedian. I really want you guys to follow him and to reach out to him and friend him. Tonight we had Joseph Chopin on the air. I didn't agree, and you know the diva always has her commentaries. I agree with that black people do not have to struggle when it comes to movie producing. I believe that we don't have to use it as an excuse, but I believe that there are barriers out there. I do want to say that. But those barriers can be broken, but we've come a long way, but sometimes we still are in the same way. And that's what I'm going to say about that. But this young man that I have right now that I'm in the show with is probably going to be one of my favorite young men because he went toe-to-toe with me. And I'm one of those people who I usually will just cut your kneecaps off. And I just, and I love this young man. So he's going to be coming back on, and you will be hearing from him in the future with his own radio show. And thank you, LJ, for being on the show. We appreciate you. Love you.
Thank you,
hi, Sabrina. Hi, LJ's kids. And you know what, ladies, I'm going to end this. Don't hold your kids from seeing their fathers. Fathers, don't hold your kids from seeing your the mothers. Remember, it's about the kids. It's about love. Remember Jeremiah 29:11. God wants to prosper us and not harm us. This is Sabrina Williams signing off with Conversations with the Diva. Tune in tomorrow morning because we have a great mom who's coming on who is going to be talking to us about what it takes to work with a have a child with special needs and how she works and how she copes. So tune in tomorrow morning, 7:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9:30 Central Standard Time, and 10:30 Eastern Time. Thanks, LJ. Have a good night.
Thank you, too. You have a good night as well. Bye-bye.